Mani Chikabe grew up in the kind of isolated, rural community where her family would heat a bucket of water up on the stove for everyone to share as bath water. They'd gather fruits and vegetables during the day, and as a kid, she learned how to hunt and trap animals, and they wouldn't let anything go to waste. They'd tan and dye moose hide, for example, using that for clothing or door covers.
I'm a good hunter, and I'm proud to say that because not too many people like me would talk like that. If I got lost or got thrown away somewhere, I would survive.
Today, Mani is 73 years old and lives in Thunder Bay, Canada. She is a lesbian two-spirit elder, an activist, an artist, and the author of the memoir, A Two-Spirit Journey. I'm Jeffrey Masters, and this is LGBT Q&A with Mani Chikabe. Here she is. One of the things I find so interesting is that, you know, being queer or trans, it's often something that one discovers about oneself at many different ages, but it's self-discovery. And yet, for you, your grandmother told you that you were two-spirit when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Why did she say that to you? Like, what told her about that?
Well, she's dealt with a lot of two-spirit people in the past. She said two-spirit people existed a long time ago. They just didn't call it two-spirit, or they just didn't mention it. Like, it wasn't advertised or anything. Because everybody just live among each other. Whoever you were attracted to was okay with them.
What was it about you as a kid that, like, indicated or might have, like, told her that you also were two-spirit?
It's just the way I was. I didn't like wearing skirts. I would take them off. They were always caught up in my, when I'm doing outside chores and when I'm doing work, when I'm climbing around trees and playing, the skirts were always in the way. And I prefer wearing either just my underwear or wearing pants.
And when she told you, she also said that that meant that you were going to have a hard life. Why did she say that?
I don't know why she said that, but after I came out, I did have a hard life. People beat the crap out of me because I became two-spirit.
And these were other Indigenous people who beat you?
They were here, but I came out in public. That's why. And the people that beat me would say, you're ruining our lives that way because now white people's not going to like us anymore now that we're gay or whatever it was they call it before they named it two-spirit. In Thunder Bay area I live, you never saw anybody come out as two-spirit, or they never say I'm gay or I'm lesbian. They didn't say that. They just do it. And then so I announced it me. I wanted people to know who I am because I didn't like men chasing me. I didn't like men coming after me saying, hey, good looking, how about a date? And I said, I don't want a date with you. Oh, you're just playing games. They say that to me. And the men are awful sometimes. I'm sorry, you're a man I'm talking to, but...
No, I'm not offended. It's okay.
Yeah, because I knew who I was. I wanted to be with women, but I never saw men that way.
You know, I've heard many different definitions of what it means to be two-spirit. Can you just explain, like, how you define it and what it means to you?
It means to me just who I am. I like women. I'm attracted to women. And I think being two-spirit, you're more freer than... You're not forced to marry anybody when you're two-spirit. But I was forced to marry this man that I married before I came out after my grandmother died. My stepdad kept bugging me. And I thought, well, to shut him up, I might as well try it. See if I am really gay or not. So when I married him, I knew, when I married that guy, I knew I was, I didn't have any attraction to him.
You were like 15 or 16 at the time.
Yeah. I married him and got two kids. After that, I ran away. I couldn't deal with it. He was very abusive. beat the crap out of me every day. Once my family, I didn't have no more family when my mom died. When my grandmother died, then my mom died. You know, just a lot of things happened where I didn't have no support after.
I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. So my grandmother was right that it was going to be hard work for me. My grandmother told me I was Nijo Jijak. That's how you say it in her language, Nijo Jijak. She wanted me to know the truth, who my people were, because she didn't want me to be alone. That's what she told me too. She said, like, before she died, I asked her, Kokum, what is two spirits? And she said, Nijo Jijak is the people that you will be with. That's the kind of person you are. And you should try to look for those kind of people for your own support when you grow old, she said.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like reading your book that this discovery that you like do desire women, it didn't happen until like your mid-20s. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't till I sober up. Till 1988 is when I started to, 1987 and, well, actually 1985 is when I really started to look at my sexuality. Because I saw people like that. They were walking, holding hands, two men. Thinking, this is in Winnipeg. I saw two men holding hands. Some of them were kissing behind somewhere. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then I saw two women kissing. And I thought, hey. I went to an AA meeting. And there was an AA meeting. It was run by two spirit people, by gay people. So...
wow.
I went to that meeting. I wanted to check it out to make sure what I'm going through is probably where I belong. I just went and checked it out once I saw the two men kissing and then the two women holding hands and they're walking. So I figured, okay, I'm going to check that out. Maybe I'm one of them. I went to the meeting where a gay man was conducting an AA meeting. There was a lot of gay AA people there, women and men. And women were all holding hands and men were showing a lot of affection with each other. And I thought, oh, this is where I belong. And then I went home and then I, you know, didn't say anything. Then I took off and I came back to Thunder Bay and then I started to think about it in 1987. Then I came out in 1988.
And as you got into activism and became more of like a public person, Indigenous people specifically were very upset at you being so open. Why was that?
Well, they said that I'm adding one more thing for people to be prejudiced against us. I guess they were putting me to be responsible for everybody. I don't know. They just made me feel awful, that's all.
Did your like family and your kids, like, did they also agree that sentiment?
My kids loved me for who I was. They knew I was gay. My other family, like my cousins and that, well, they were kind of angry at me, you know. But then they understood why I was so different, why I always wear men's clothes, why I do bush work. I do really heavy work sometimes when I was growing up in Mbabaka. I did hunting. I'm a good hunter. I killed my first moose when I was 11 or 12. I can't remember.
You killed your first moose? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I killed my own moose. I'm a good hunter. And I'm proud to say that because not too many people like me would talk like that. If I got lost or got thrown away somewhere, I would survive.
I mean, you grew up in an incredibly rural and isolated area. Yeah, you learn how to like catch animals to like tan and dye moose hide.
Yeah.
How to use that for clothing, for like door coverings.
Using those as like mitts and hats and shoes. Moccasins, they call them.
You know, unfortunately, we hear a lot about Indigenous kids who are taken away from their homes.
Yeah.
And that happened in your community. When you were 12, your brother and cousin were taken away to a residential school. Why did they not take you too? Like, why were you able to stay?
Well, I was in a bush hunting, and then I just got home in time after they took all the kids.
And when you say all the kids, like, they took like the majority of them, right?
Yeah, mostly up to 4 years old. Four and up. That's a lot of kids they took out of the community. There was only five kids around my age that was left.
Wow.
Including me, that it was left. Most of them were taken, and they were taken to... my brother went to McIntosh, which is not too far from Thunder Bay area. And then some of them were right in Thunder Bay, and some of them went to Sault Ste. Marie. They send them all over, wherever residential schools were.
And so what was the community where you grew up like after that, after they took so many kids?
They didn't like me or the guys that didn't get to go. They didn't like those people because they were angry at us. The parents were angry at us that we didn't go because their kids went.
Wow.
Jealous.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, luck and good fortune to be able to stay, have not been taken, but you also experienced like a tremendous amount of abuse and hardship there.
Yeah, I did.
Along those lines, like the physical and sexual abuse you experienced, you write that it happened to many, many others, but it was something that was never, ever talked about. It was just pretended that it never happened. When did that start to change? When did you start to speak like more openly about it?
Oh, when I was about, about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago.
So that was like in your 50s or 60s?
Well, yeah, no, I was about maybe younger. In 1994, I went to my first counseling. First time I mentioned my abuse. That was 1990.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That's when I quit smoking. I saw a counselor and she started to work with me about my life. After all, she told me, well, do you know any other people like you, other gay members? And I said, no. Well, I'll try and set up something where you can meet some people, she said. So she did have a coffee afternoon one time so we can meet each other.
That's really generous.
Yeah, she was a very nice counselor. It's hard because Thunder Bay that time was not like the way it is now, but it was a little bit different. Everybody's always hiding from somebody or something.
And can I ask, when you talk about being two-spirit, it's about like, you know, like wearing pants, kind of like acting like a boy, but also being a lesbian. Does two-spirit for you encompass like gender and sexuality, or is it separate?
I don't know where to separate it. I just feel like there's two of me in my body. There's a male and a female. And I'm interested in females. I'm not interested in males, though.
I gotcha. So it is about like having this like male and female inside of you.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And my grandmother told me that when I was 4 years old, but I didn't understand it then.
When did you begin to understand it?
There was an event where my social worker was telling me about these people that she was going to organize something to happen for a coffee event so other people can meet each other because there wasn't that many of us. So I went and then I met other people. They were like me. They're two-spirit. Like the boys told me they liked the men and the women told me they liked the women. One of them was saying, if you want to go out on a date, I'm available, she said.
Did you take her up on that?
No, I didn't pick it up. I was scared of her.
Why scared?
Well, because the way she talked and the way she acted scared me. Talk big, tough woman, and that scares me because of what happened when I was married to this man. I didn't want to go through with people like that.
Oh, it felt too similar to him.
Yeah. It was the way they act. They act tough and big and powerful, and so therefore I felt like, oh, she's probably like the other men, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That kind of scared me a little, and so I didn't offer myself to anybody. I was just happy to be around people like me. That was the most important. I'm not ready to be in a relationship because I wanted to raise my kids till they got older and older and they can defend themselves.
And you did have, you know, relationships. How about now? Are you dating? Are you interested in dating?
I'm interested, but I haven't found somebody I'm interested in. I haven't been dating for a long time now.
Is the challenge like meeting other women?
It's a challenge because in Thunder Bay, you don't know who is lesbian. Nobody comes out and they don't go out and hang out somewhere. There's not much events happening in Thunder Bay, especially after COVID. It ruined a lot of stuff.
I guess there's not like a clear meetup location for like people your age also in their 70s.
Yeah, there's no place to go to meet them. So I just stay home. I don't go nowhere unless I go to Toronto. Then I meet people in Toronto.
Can I ask? I know your like eyesight has been like slowly worsening. How is it today?
It's not very good today. I have these blind spots every now and then moving into my eyes. I was like this for a long time. Now I go to CNIB for my to learn things and to be around people that are like me, that are blind a little bit, and we learn to support each other, come together.
Are you able to live alone?
Oh, of course. I've been living alone for a long time now, since 2004.
Okay, so you're used to it.
Yeah.
Well, you always seem to be, you know, taking in to live with you, you know, extended family, foster kids, like whenever people needed a place to live.
I used to.
I didn't know if you were now being helped by other people.
I don't do that anymore. I'm a retired person now. I'm trying to be retired, but I do go out. I work with a lot of young people. They're attracted to me because of who I am and because of I'm two-spirit, and they're more comfortable with me than they are with other elders.
Why is that?
When I say elders, I'm an elder. So the young people know who I am. They know I'm a two-spirit elder, and so they come and talk to me, and they're friends with me, and they come and help me at my house. And, you know, they're really like, they're very thankful people. Even couples, like young couples, lesbian couples, that they want to hang out with me. They like hanging out with me because they, you know, I'm old, but they don't see me as an old person. They don't see me that way because I don't act that way. I'm old, but so what? I can still be who I am. But some old people tend to act really old when they're elders.
But not you.
Nah. It's not, age doesn't bother me. It's just, I'm very active in my own way for all of my life. So I don't let age get to me.
Well, what scares you the most about aging?
Well, maybe if I get sick, I might not be able to help anybody. That's the thing that scares me.
It's still about other people. No, we don't help other people, not about you.
Well, me, I don't have any fears about me. I just fear that what if I get Alzheimer's and then I'll get sick, you know? Those are my little worries.
Yeah.
But I'm worried more of the other people in a way that they might not be comfortable with me once I'm sick.
Mm.
But they don't do that. They showed me different stories because I was sick and they all want to come and help. Sometimes young people will come up to my house or call me up and say, we're going to pick you up. We're going to go for a drive. So we go for a drive They know I'm visually impaired, and they know that I might need to go for a drive once in a while, you know? And then when they do their night duty work, they'll call me up, want to come? And I said, yeah. I don't go every time they go do their work. And when I'm teaching them, I always teach them about love. Put love in front of your body, in front of you when you get up in the morning, and it'll guide you to a beautiful place. That's what I always tell them. It'll guide you.
Well, I think that's a beautiful place to leave it at.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for spending so much time talking today. This has been fantastic.
Yeah. And I'll give you the same advice. Put love in front of you when you go out of your doorway, and it'll guide you to a beautiful place.
And that is Mani Chakabe. She is the author of A Two-Spirit Journey, the autobiography of a lesbian OBGYA Cree elder. And then as always, if you want to support the work we do here, the best way to do that is by subscribing to our Substack. If you are able to contribute there, that will help us be able to continue to document these stories for hopefully years to come. So there is a link to our Substack in our show notes. Thank you so much to everyone who has joined us there. We literally could not make this show without you. All right, I'm Jeffrey Masters, and next week we're back with Bob Rose Levine. She is 92 years old and still performing drag in Fire Island. That's Bob Rose Levine. She'll be joining us next week. I'll see you there. Bye.